For Parshas Ki Teitze, we want to learn an essay from Rav Pinchas Friedman Shlita, and this is all based on what we call remez. You know, that the Torah can be interpreted on four different levels: pshat, remez, drush, and sod. Remez means allusions, meaning there's certain symbolic codes that we have to decipher in understanding the Torah. So in Parshas Ki Teitze, we have the source for what's called Malchus, which means that we mete out a punishment of 39 lashes to someone who violated the Torah law. The Torah says that in a case of Ahaya bin Hakos HaRosha, when we mete out the punishment of Malchus, v'pilah ha-shofet v'ikol lefanav, and the shofet, which means the judge, has issued a verdict that this person, because of the guilt of a criminal act, which means that there were witnesses, there was enough evidence, there was a warning, all the ingredients, all the regulations were fulfilled. And the Torah says, "Kidei rishaso," meaning we punish him for his evil, "bimispar," with a number. What is that number? How many lashes do we mete out? You know, how many flagellations? Arba'im yakenu, 40, lo yosif. Don't add another one beyond the 40. Then the Torah uses the word pen Yosef, and the Gemara is going to try to understand what's the difference between lo Yosef and pen Yosef. And then the Torah says, v'nikla achicha le'necha, which literally means he will be humiliated in front of you through this process of Malchus. And humiliation, as we'll soon see, is a very important element here, which allows us, again, don't ask me any questions yet, because we'll get to it later, to reinstate this criminal, bring him back into society. Rashi says the following, that the very next pasuk, the very next verse says, "Lo tasom shar bedisho," and that means that just like the Torah says we give out 40 malchus, 40 lashes, so the Torah says, "Thou shalt not muzzle a shar." Why did the Torah add that immediately after the paragraph, the verse that addresses malchus? And the answer is to teach us that just like lo tasom shar bedisho is a violation of a lav, and when you violate a lotas in the Torah, you get malchus, so to any lav, any other violation of the Torah, is similar to lotasom, and you get malchus. I wouldn't call it gzereshav, I would call it a binyan av. It's actually called. A gzereshav means not when you have two psukim that are contiguous, but when you have one word that shows up again and again. Okay. But anyway, how many malchus does the Torah say we meet out?
39.
No, it says 40. In my chumash, it says 40. I don't know about your chumash.
40 minus 1 says, right?
It doesn't say 40 minus 1. But the Gemara at the end of Malchus says, "Kama Malkin also." How many Malkus do we give out? Abayim Chasarachas. As Shalom, you said 39. Why? Shenemar bin mispar arbayim. Because the Torah added one word here, bimispar. What does the word bimispar mean? If you translate it literally, it means the number of 40. But Chazal say it means minyan shu samach l'arboim, a count, a number that is close to 40, but not exactly 40. And Rashi embellishes this. He says, cheshbon ha-mashlim schum shel arboim. It's a calculation, a sum, that is close to hashlama, to completing the number 40. And if a person is given 39, if you wanted to round it off to the next number, you would call it 40, to the nearest 10. So again, we have here what's called Torah Shebechsav, the written Torah. The Torah says, "B'mispar arboim yaken," 40 lashes. And then we have Torah Shebal Peh, in which we analyze the pasuk, and we come to the conclusion that it means almost, if we round it off to 40, but it means a little bit less than 40, and the answer is 39.
But why is that? Why the 40 not?
I'm not sure I understand your question. Why the Torah said 40?
Yeah.
So that's the subject of this essay. We're going to try to see if we can, if there's a is there a coded message here, a secret code here that the Torah, in a sense, confuses us by using the number 40 when really it means bin mispar arboim, which means mispar shu samach l'arboim, a number that's close to 40. But why does the Torah say 40? So as I told you at the outset, we're not dealing with pshat now. Again, that requires another kind of study. But rather we're dealing with remez. Remez means, are there symbolic messages here when the Torah on the one hand says 40, but the Torah really means 39? Okay, now, first, we have to lay down one premise. You know that Ezra HaSofer, as the Gemara establishes at the end of Megillah, organized the Krios HaParshios during the calendar year. The Parsha of Ki Tetzé is always, always read in one particular month of the calendar. Which month is that? Elul. What is the connection between Parshas Ki Tetzé and the month of Elul? Now, in order to appreciate that, we have to ask the following question. How many days are there in the month of Elul?
30.
Well, in a sense there are 30, but in another sense there are only 29. What do I mean? There are 2 days Rosh Chodesh, but the first day of Rosh Chodesh is not called Elul technically. It's only on the second day of Rosh Chodesh that we call it Elul. So now, if we make that calculation, then Elul belongs to two different categories, 39 and 40. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu, following the Chet HaEgel, goes up to the mountain. He goes up to the mountain a number of times. And the last time that he goes up to the mountain is in order to receive the second set of luchos, when God finally completes the forgiveness, the slicha, for the Chet HaEgel. On what calendar date does Moshe climb the mountain for the third time? Rosh Chodesh Elul. 40 days later, he receives the secret and the craved response of God, the declaration of God, Salachti Kidvarecha. On what day is that? Yom Kippur. So Yom Kippur is the 40th day after Moshe goes up to the mountain. Yom Kippur is going to be number 40. Erev Yom Kippur, therefore, is what number if you count from Rosh Chodesh? 39. Okay then? So now, these days in which Moshe Rabbeinu is up on the mountain praying and supplicating, begging on behalf of Klal Yisrael that God should accept them and be appeased, these are called the days of Rachamim V'Ratzam. These are the days in which Almighty God feels a sense of compassion. And He has a will to be Meratzah. Meratzah means to be appeased, to reestablish His relationship with Knesset Yisrael, the people of Israel. That relationship is always described in Chazal as a marriage relationship. In fact, the entire book of Shir HaShirim can be understood in Remez as an allusion to the Chasan and the Kala, to the marriage relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Kala is Knesset Yisrael, the Raya and the Dod. And therefore, every year during the month of Elul, the days of the month are saturated with a compassion of God as days of Rachmim and Ratzon. And just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted Moshe's pleas on behalf of the people to forgive the people for the sin of the Egel, and the people of Israel did tshuva, so if you combine two factors, A, the tshuva of Klal Yisrael and their repentance, together with B, the tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu up on the mountain, those two produce, shall we say, C, which is Salachti Kidvarecha. And every year, the month of Elul has the power inherent in the month to A, be mispalel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to beg and supplicate God for mechila, for slicha, number two, to do tshuva, and number three, to achieve on Yom Kippur, the ultimate goal on the 40th day, v'salachti kidvarecha. Now, we're ready for the next point in this picture. So far, are you with me? So again, the Torah says you should give out how many lashes? 40. Chazal say it means what? 39. If you talk about the month of Elul and the parash of Ki Tetzé, the parash of Makkos, always coincides with the month of Elul, then we're talking about Elul in two different ways. We're talking about the month of Elul, and 29 days later, we reach the day of Erev Yom Kippur, and then we talk about Yom Kippur itself. So I'm sorry, did I say 29? I meant to say 39. Sorry. So 39 days after Rosh Chodesh El, we reach Erev Yom Kippur. We're going to see the special status of Erev Yom Kippur. And finally, on the day 40, we reach Yom Kippur itself. And this puts into historical perspective, A, the experience of Moshe Rabbeinu and his success 40 days from Rosh Chodesh El to Yom HaKippurim and achieving atonement and the pacification, the reestablishment of the marriage relation between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael following the Egel. And number two, that's going to inject into this period of time on an annual basis the ability, it's almost as if the potential is inherent in these days to be mispalel like Moshe did, and to do tshuva like Klal Yisrael did, and finally to achieve slicha mechila on Yom HaKippurim, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted on that very fateful, critical Yom HaKippurim following the Cheta Egel. So he says the following. If you like the text, because again, this is a very textual oriented class, we're on the bottom right, first column, first page, moving over to the middle column. The Torah says, Arboim Yakenu, that we should mete out 40 lashes to the sinner. And God commands that we sin, that we actually give 39 malchus, even though the pasuk says 40. Then the Torah says, once you've given the person, the sinner, the criminal malchus, then it says, V'nikla achicha le'enecha. So Rashi says there's something strange here. How do we describe this person? What adjective should we use? At the beginning of the parasha, the Torah calls him a rasha, an evildoer. Now the Torah calls him achicha, your brother. Says Rashi, V'nikla achicha, kol ayom koro rasha. During the course of the day until he gets his malchus, he's called a rasha. But mishalaka, once he got his malchus, karo achicha, we change his description. We no longer describe him as a rasha. We now describe him as achicha. And as you know, all of Avos Yisrael, the love that we have for another Jew, which is a major theme of this essay, is all embedded in this. The whole philosophy is really inherent in this transition. We believe that man could be an evildoer, but if he takes his nefesh, his soul, into his own hands, he can become achicha. And how does he become achicha? Because he experiences 39 malchus. Those 39 malchus symbolically represent the 39 days from Rosh Chodesh Elul until Erev Yom Kippur. Those are days in which we get malchus. It doesn't mean we physically get malchus, but it means we go through that experience of making a transition from being Chas V'Shalom a Rasha to becoming Achicha. These are days of introspection. These are days of tshuva. And again, as you and I know, tshuva is a very complex mitzvah that's made up of many parts. It means regret on the past. It means desisting from sin. It means resolution on the future. It means that a person works himself up to such a frenzy, to such an emotional high, that if you judge him at that moment, he would never repeat that sin. Again, it could be later on, he falls. You know, man is like the moon. It waxes and it wanes. You know, we can't maintain that emotional frenzy forever. But if you ask me, Basharu Sham, at that moment in time, he is so dedicated in a very genuine way, his whole nefesh, his whole emotional framework to tshuva, he would never repeat that sin. And the Gemara tells us in Masechta Brachos, Tova Mardis Achus Belibo Shel Adam Yosef Mikarma Malkios, which means that the ultimate goal of Malkus is not to suffer. Malchus, these lashes are only a means to an end. We're trying to influence the person, impact on the person, so that he should do tshuva. So that even though during our month of El, we don't have the experience of Malkos, but we definitely have the ultimate goal of the Malkos, the purpose of the Malkos, which is that a person should make an honest-to-goodness introspection and evaluation of himself and decide to improve himself. And that is the process of tshuva. So the hisorus, to waken a person to the tshuva, is the ultimate goal of Chodesh El. And that is a replacement for the Malkos, and that's going to take us from the first day of El all the way to the ninth day of Tishrei, which is the 39-day period of time in which we dedicate ourselves to tshuva, to cheshbon ha-nefesh, to being honest and genuine about our rededication to Torah, to the will of Hashem, and to His mitzvahs.
What's with Malkos? Isn't that the biblical Malkut?
Malkut,
what does that mean?
Mardut means a rebellion. It comes from the word merit. So he says the following: Tova Mardus Achas Belibo Shel Adam. In other words, if he'll rebel against the evil inclination, that's even better. Yosef Mikama Malkios. That's by far more significant than as many lashes that we give him, because ultimately we want him to fight a battle against the evil inclination, and that's what he wants to overcome. But now we could say the following: these days, 39 in number, that take us all the way up to, but not yet, we're not yet entering into Yom Kippur, but we're in Erev Yom Kippur. These are days of purification, of rectification, what he calls tikkun, tahara. And the cleansing process, if it reaches its pinnacle and is absolutely successful, cleanses the nefesh of a person in such a way that it leaves no roshem, no impact of sin. In other words, every sin has a certain impact, a certain it's like you engrave something in the soul of a person. The person's soul has changed as a result of sin. The purpose and the goal of Tahara, of purification, is to remove that Roshem. I'll give you an example. If, let's say, you cross out something and you make a photocopy, you can see in the photocopy where you crossed it out. But let's say you cross out a word and then you tepex it, you white it out. Now if you make a photocopy, wait till it dries, then you won't see any Roshem whatsoever of the original mistake. That's called Tahara. Excuse me. Tahara means purification. Purification means to cleanse a person totally, removing even the roshem of sin, even the secondary fallout or impact of the sin. So now he becomes totally purified, totally clean. And that's the ultimate goal. So if you ask me which time of the year is the time of the year for brainwashing or soul washing, for soul cleansing, it's from Rosh Chodesh Elul and 39 days until you get to Erev Yom Kippur. These represent the 39 Malkos that we meet out to a criminal, and afterwards he becomes not a Russian but a Chicha, Kevon Shenikla Hareyu Ke'achicha. Now let's take a look for a moment at the Shulchan Aruch in the laws of Rosh Hashanah. He says the following: that Rosh Hashanah should project a person to Yom Kippur, and Erev Yom Kippur, especially Mincha of Erev Yom Kippur, plays a major role in this entire process that began with the beginning of Elul, reached its pinnacle on Rosh Hashanah, and then projects him to Yom Kippur. Says the Shulchan Aruch, I don't know if you're aware of this, Kol HaKahal Lokim Malkos Arboim Achar Tfilas Mincha. Have you ever seen this? I saw it. I was learning as a youngster, 18 years old, I was learning in a yeshiva called Karen B'Yavna, which is right near Ashdod. And on Erev Yom Kippur, we went to the mikveh in Ashdod. And outside the mikveh, we saw an old Yemenite Jew that was getting Malkos. Not giving Malkos, but getting Malkos. With a strap. It was not dangerous. Don't get me the wrong impression. It was just a
symbolic
malchus. And we don't realize that that's how it's codified in Shulchan Aruch. Kol HaKahal Lokim Malkus Arboim Achar Tfilas Mincha. But he tells you what's the purpose of this symbolic Malkus that you get. Shemitochach Yitein El Libo. He should make sure that the message goes all the way down to his heart. Lashuv Me'averos Shebiyodo. So that he does tshuva for the sins that are in his hands. The Ramah says, "V'nagu shanilka omer viduyim b'shas shanilka." The Ramah takes this minhag very seriously, and he adds an embellishment and adds a qualification. He says it's critical that when he's receiving malchus, at that moment, he should recite vidui. He should recite the confession. The malke, and the one who's giving him malchus, should recite Vahu Racham. Now, how many words are in the verse Vahu Racham? Anybody know? Vahu Racham Yichaper Avom V'lo Yashchis V'bo Lashiv Apo V'lo Ye'ir Kol Chamasom. 13 words. And we give him Vahu Racham 3 times. That's 13 times 3 is 39 Malkus. So the Malkus should recite Vahu Racham with every Maka that he gives him, and he should do that 3 times over until he reaches the 39th Maka. V'nagu b'tamidikis lahalkos b'ritzua koldahu. You know, you use a little bit of a strap. It's really like more like a band-aid than a strap. D'eino kak zikaron l'malkus. It's only meant to make a dramatic impact and an emotional inspiration. It's not really Malkus. But again, it's quite clear here from the language of the Mechaber and the Ramah that on Erev Yom Kippur we complete the number 39, which is the 39 Malkus. And that corresponds to the 39 Malkus that were given in the Torah for a criminal and to the 39 days that begin with Rosh Chodesh Elul when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the mountain to plea on behalf of Klal Yisrael after the Chet HaEgel. And that 39 day period of time of Cheshbon HaNefesh and Tshuva reaches its pinnacle on the 39th day past Rosh Chodesh Elul, which is Erev Yom Kippur. It makes sense now that on Erev Yom Kippur we give Malkus because that is the 39th day that culminates this period of Ratzon, of Pius with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of Cheshbon HaNefesh and Tshuva. That's the day in which we get Malkus. That's our minhag. And that is what it says here in the Gemara and Masechta Malkus, that we give 39 Malkus. And that corresponds to the 39 days from Rosh Chodesh Elul, which the apex of which is on Erev Yom Kippur, the day on which we receive Malkus. Now, can we get a little bit of an insight into the question of why the number 39? So we said so far that 39 is significant because it's for Hu Rachum times 3. Okay, that's one point. Can we get a deeper insight into the number 39? So for this, we want to look in the Arizal. You know, the Arizal lived in Tzfat 5 centuries ago, and he was into remes meaning to try to find the symbolic meaning of the Torah. And the Arizal claims that in the aftermath of the original sin, when Adam HaRishon ate from the Eitz Hadas, man was cursed with how many curses? 39. Only the Arizal could know such a thing because he got it from the study of Kabbalah. You and I would never come up with the number 39. We would say Bezeh Asapecha Tocha Lechem or childbirth, right? That be Etzev Tol Dibonim. That's 2. But how do you get from 2 to 39? And the Arizal adds the following point. He says that not all these klolos were given to the same person. No single individual received all 39 klolos. Man, Adam, received 10. Chava received 10. The Nachash received 10. And the earth itself received 9. So we have all told how many klolos, how many curses? 39. You'll find this in other writings. It's not just the Ari. We have the Rikanti, and he says, Omer Rav Hoseinu, he quotes a brisa in Pirkei de Rabbi Lazar, Ki lamites klolos niskalalu Adam v'chava v'nochash v'ha'adama v'al kol achote v'al kein achote asher olav ruach tumas azuma ahi loke arboim chaser achas. So if man was meted out 10 curses, women, female, meaning Chava was another 10, Nachash another 10, and the Adama 9, then any time a person sins, it's almost as if he's duplicating the original sin of the of Adam Arishon, you know, of Adam Arishon at the time of the Eitz Hadas. And the total number of klolos that were generated by this sin is the number 39. And this is all based on a Zohar. Now, he quotes the Zohar here on the bottom of page 1. And the Zohar is usually very difficult Aramaic. Here, the Zohar, you know, we lucked out, it's in Hebrew. And the Zohar says the following. Kishiyarat Samuel Mishmei Marom, when the angel of death and the evil inclination, the evil angel came down, Ra'am Alosa Shal Adam, he beheld the great stature of man, and he saw with his eyes that Malachi Asharis, there were holy angels, Mishamshin Lefanav, was serving man, and they came to participate in man's chuppah, his wedding with Chava. Vayora be'enof, he got very jealous. Ma asa, natal nachash, kemin gamal v'rochavala. He found a serpent. Again, the serpents of then, back at the time of Adam HaRishon, were not like the serpents of today. This one was as large as a gamal, as a donkey. A camel. Now, I don't know if you've ever ridden a camel. You know, if you go down towards Jericho, you know, the Arabs, the Bedouins will give you a camel ride over there. And you'll pay for it, but you don't get it for free.
I got a bargain.
Yeah, if you're a tour guide, you get a bargain. But us guys, you know, we don't unless we go with the tour guide, we don't get a bargain. But the truth is that this gamal was so large, and it was really a serpent, not a gamal, that Samuel was able to ride it like you would ride a camel. And Rachav Olav, he rode on top of it.
It had legs?
Legs? Yeah, the serpent had legs, and he was able to wrap his legs around this gamal. And Natal Nachash Kamin Gamal, and he was able to ride on this serpent. This is Samuel. You know, you wouldn't want to meet him on a dark night in a private place. Now we're up to page 2. Upita oso acha ovar mamar of Yotzra. So now Samuel, who's riding on this serpent, this gigantic serpent that looks like a camel, now is able to seduce Adam HaRishon to violate the will of God. The Kevon Sha'avar, once man was guilty of the sin and he ate from the Eitz Hadas, Nigla Olav HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'Girshu MeGan Eden. So God exiles man from Gan Eden. The Gazar Olav Yud Gzeros, V'Al Chava Eser Gzeros, V'Al Anochash Eser, V'Al Adoma Teisha Gzeros. Nimtzu'u, so comes out, says the Zohar, that there were arboim chaser achas, there were 40 minus 1 klolos, curses or gzeros in total as a result of the original sin, the eating of the Eitz Hadas. So now we have many sources that indicate that the first violation, the rebellion against God, was punished with the number 39. These were the 39 klolos, the 39 gzeros that were brought about in the aftermath of the original sin of Eitz Hadas. Now, we're going to move on to understand another insight. And this is an insight into the number 39. As we asked, why is it that Malchus is 39 Malchus. How many malachas, how many categories of labor are there on Shabbos? 39. This day of Shabbos is dedicated to serving Hashem. And by the way, we can do that even in a democratic state. Okay, we don't have to put up a campaign sign that says we are going to organize a secular state. We can have room for Shabbos. They can allow some observance of the Shabbos. I don't think it would kill them. It didn't kill Ben-Gurion, by the way. I don't know why it has to kill Gantz. Did you see that poster on the way to Pat? I mean, you can't miss it. It's 50 meters high. And he says, we are committed to create a secular state. He calls it Medina Chilonit. I don't remember my childhood. No, this is Gantz.
She's desperate, desperate.
I don't remember that this was the political campaign in the past. I mean, I never voted for Merit.
All because of Lieberman. All because of Lieberman.
But it's unbelievable what's going on here. I'm embarrassed by the whole thing. I'm very upset. Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Berditcher would have to come up with a good original justification in this case. I don't know how he would match.
It's called elections.
Yeah, okay. But even elections, I think there's got to be isn't there some gvul? You know, that's your whole reason d'etre, to create a state that Chas v'Sholem should not. He says, "Al kainet stavenu b'Shabbos al lavetes malachos shehein avos." There are 39 avos malachos. Those are the paradigmic malachos, right? And ki abriyah hayis al menash lo ya'adam osis shu malacha. There's got to be one day of the week where man desists from work, and that was built into the divine plan of creation. And the divine plan of creation is really a blueprint for sovereign rulership of God at the end of days. And Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, Asida Eretz Yisrael Otzi Gluskos, there's going to be a period of time when the land of Israel, the very ground of Israel, will produce fully manufactured breads, very tasty breads. And that means we will not have to do malacha. So the amazing, supernatural, miraculous universe, ultimately, in the ideal creation, is going to be like the Yosid Love Eretz Yisrael Hotzi Gluskos. But as a result of man's sin, the entire universe was cursed with 39 curses. Those 39 curses represent the replacement for what is the ultimate ideal goal of God's creation in Eretz Yisrael. And instead we're going to get involved in 39 different categories of labor. All this is because we're not yet ready for the ultimate Geula Asida, the ultimate redemption, where we don't need any of these 39 malachas. These 39 malachas are the klolos as a result of man's sin. So with man's sin, the entire blueprint for creation changed in such a fundamental way that now we have to wait until the ultimate Geula. Now we're stuck with these 39 categories of labor instead of existing in the supernatural world in which God reveals Himself every single second and we have clarity of vision. So we now begin to understand that the number 39 represents the days of the week where Shabbos is what we call Me'ein Olam Haba. Shabbos is the one entity in which we are free of these 39 klolos. We need the Shabbos desperately because it inspires us to take these 39 klolos and put them on the back burners for one day, and for one day of the week exist as if we were in Olam Haba, and we should behave as if we were already in the Liyasid Lavo, the ultimate redemption, and we do not get involved in the 39 malachas. That means that the day of Shabbos is the day of bracha. The rest of the week, unfortunately, are days of klolos. How many klolos are there? How many klolos was man cursed with after the chet of Eitz Hadas? 39. Those are the 39 malachas that we almost kill us. We're so dedicated to all these malachas, you know, Harisha and Zriya and Ktsira and so forth. But now we get the Shabbos. So the Shallah, you know, the Shnei Luchos Habris, his name was Horovitz, he lived about 2.5 centuries ago, he points out that when the Mishnah says that there are 40 minus one categories of Avos Malachos, why didn't the Mishnah say that there are 39 Avos Malachos? Why did the Mishnah say Arbaim Chaser Achas? Says the Shallah, the Mishnah wants to allude to the Malchus of Arbaim Chaser Achas, where the Torah says give 40 lashes, but we give 40 minus 1, which alludes or corresponds to the 39 curses in the aftermath of the Eitz Hadas. And on Shabbos as well, we have to understand that there are not 40 malachos, and there are not 39 malachos, but there are 40 minus 1, which is again 39, but what it means to say is that it's really 39 of Arbaim Chaser Achas, because Shabbos, we are prohibited from getting involved in those 39 categories of Malacha that correspond to the 39 klolos of Malacha that were cursed, that were brought upon man after the Eitz Hadas. Shabbos is going to free us from those 39 klolos, those 39 Malachos.
But why 40? I still don't understand why it says 40.
Right. That we're not up to yet. Right? That's going to be the next section. What time is it? I hope we'll get to it. I'm trying to...
11.
Okay, we still have a few minutes. So again, if you have to go, you have to go. But I'm just saying, my next class is at 11:45, so I still have a little time. And we'll get to the number 40. So again, the curses are 39. The Malchios are 39. The Malachos are 39. In all cases, it's called, in the language of Chazal, in the Mishnah itself, Arboim Chaser Achas, because we're sewing this all together. The Klolos, the Malachos, and the Malchos. And the ultimate goal is to get to the number 40. That's going to be Yom Kippur, but hold on for that. So again, these 39 days are days in which we receive Malchus, culminating on Erev Yom Kippur with the minhag of receiving Malchus, but the purpose of which is to serve Hashem through tshuva and through tefillah. Now it's interesting that we are called upon to do a rectification for all these klolos, and that's going to mean that we have these 39 days from Rosh Chodesh El till Erev Yom Kippur to do a tikkun for the 39 klolos. The klolos, the curses that were bestowed upon Adam, Chava, and the land itself. But you might ask yourself the following question. Who was responsible for bringing these klolos? Was it me? Was it you? It was Adam, it was Chava, and it was the Aretz at that time. Again, we have to have a whole discussion about why the Aretz was considered guilty, why the Torah punished the Aretz. Says the Arizal, that all the neshamas, every spiritual soul that exists throughout history for all of eternity, are klulos bi adam arishon, were included in that one great neshama which is called the first neshama of adam arishon, and at the moment of his sin, he was basically sinning as a representative of all of man, every future man that would walk this earth. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Gozer Misa, which means that man in his original creation before the Chet was meant to be immortal. He will now die as a result of this rebellion against God. And that Gzera of Misa is brought upon all of mankind. You might say, well, Adam HaRishon sinned, why do I have to die? Why am I mortal? Let him be mortal because he sinned. And now we have to work very hard to make a tikkun for these klolos. But now he asks another question. What about the klolos that were brought upon the nachash? That's 10 out of the 39. So you could say that man is a product of Adam and Chava, and that's called neshama hakoleles kol haneshamos. But what about the nachash? He says that there's a brisa in Masechet Sanhedrin that perhaps could shed a light on this. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya Omer, Chaval al Shemesh Gadol, Sha'avad mina Shamash Gadol, Sha'avad mina Olam. She'il molein is kalel ha'enochash kolechem v'echem Yisraelim is damin lo shnei nechashim tovim echad m'shagol etzofim v'echem m'shagol etdorom lo'havi lo san v'lolin tovim avonis tovios avonim tovos margolios. What it means is, in a literal sense, according to Rav Shimon ben Manasseh, if not for the klala on the nachash was meant to be a great creature that would serve man. How would he serve man? He would bring to man in the north, or go to the south, and bring him back very precious metals and precious stones and pearls. These are nechashim, these are serpents that would have served man in a great, fantastic way. But that all changed as a result of the chait of the Eitz Hadas. The original nachash now was transformed from good to evil. He became the source or the representation of the Yetzer Hara. And now, instead of helping man, he becomes a siyua, a helper for man to violate the will of God. He becomes, instead of tov, ra. So therefore the chait Eitz Hadas causes that we lose a great shamash. Shamash means a servant. The nachash was meant in the original plan of the divine creation to be a great servant of man. But now the nachash is going to experience, he's going to receive 10 klalot. And as a result, instead of being man's helper and projecting man's forward in serving Hashem, it's going to be just the opposite. He's always going to be the impediment preventing man from serving Hashem. He's always going to be the personification of the Yetzer Hara. And that's what the pasuk means when it says, V'eva oshis bein cha ubein ha'isho bein zarach bein zarach hu yishvoch rosh shvatot shkenu ekev. It means that there'll be a total separation, a richuk gadol, a distance between kedusha and the opposite, between sanctity and something which is antithetical to sanctity. The nachash represents that which is antithetical to sanctity, trying to undo sanctity and uproot it. And that's going to be the nachash, the Yetzer Hara, in all generations. So all this is a result of the klala, the Eser klalos, that God placed on the nachash. Okay. Now, we want to discuss the numbers and the letters of the Torah. Let's take a look at the klala at the time of the Eitz Hadas. We said that there were 39 different klalos, and that's why Hashem says that we're going to punish the sin with 39 malchus, the sinner with 39 malchus. At this point, enter front stage the Bnei Yisoschar, one of the great Galician Hasidic rabbis, and he says the following. He says that Adam Arishon, as a result of his rebellion and his sin, blemished three Alephs. Which are these three Alephs? Adam, Emes, and Ado with Noi at the end. And he bases himself on a Yalkut, which is an anthology of Midrashim, that says the following. Bechet Adam nechzeru shlosha alfin. As a result of man's sin, three Alephs were taken away. The Aleph of Adam, the Aleph of Emes, and the Aleph of Ado, again with a Noi at the end. The Avos tiknu chet Adam arishon. The goal and the purpose of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, our ancestors, our forefathers, is to rectify the sin of man. Shehaya cheto, the sin of man, of Adam HaRishon, encompassed three cardinal sins: Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, and Shfichas Damim. Each one of the Avos is going to take upon himself the agenda of rectifying one of those three cardinal sins. Avram is going to rectify, he's going to fight the battle against Avodah Zorah. At the end, he's going to get thrown into the Kivshan Eid. Yitzchak is going to fight the battle against Shfichas Domin. And therefore, he's going to stretch out his neck on the Mizbeach to be killed as a carbon on the Akedah. Yaakov is going to rectify Gilui Arayos, because it says Ben paid Dalet at the age of 84, Hoya Velo Ra Tipas Keri. Alright, we're not going to go into details about that, but Yaakov Avinu plays the role of the antidote against Gilui Arayos. He says, Nirali, Ki Avram Tikein Ha'alef Shel Ado Noi, meaning he accepted God as the Adnus. The Adnus means the master of the universe. There is no other God. He was willing, for the sake of recognizing that one God, to put his life on the line. And that's called Yichud Elokei Olam. And that's what Avram Avinu represents. Yitzchak, on the other hand, is a different word, and that's the word Adam. Because what Yitzchak is telling us and teaching us is that if you take the Aleph away from the word Adam, then it becomes Dam, which is a reference to Shfichas Damim, to murder. And Yitzchak Avinu is willing to sacrifice his life in order to avoid Shfichas Damim. That's his battle. Yaakov is the Aleph of MS, because if you cut off the MS, you're left with mace, you're left with death itself. So
what about the Aleph Dalet Nun Yud? You take off the Aleph, you get, if you switch around the letters, you get Din. Is that what it would be?
He doesn't spell it out here, he just says the following, that it was the Ovdei Avodah Zorah, they wanted to substitute other gods for Adon. So they really wanted to take out the Aleph. And during the time of Yitzchak, there were murderers who wanted to take off the Aleph of Adam, and you're left with Dam. Right. And during the time of Yaakov Avinu...
Yeah, I get that. But I'm just saying, if they're taking off the Aleph, so if you take off the Aleph from Aleph Dalet Nun Yud,
That's a good point, Mendy. I don't know. He's not. No, that's a great point. I'm just saying he's not entering into that.
Okay.
He just means that cutting off the Aleph means you're fighting against something.
In the case
of God's name, you want to create other gods. In the case of MS, you really want mace instead of Aleph. And he goes further. And he says the following. When it says that Avram, in the Medrash, Tikein, Aleph Shel, Ado, and then Noi, he says that's the deeper meaning of what Daniel meant when he said Leman Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, and Chazal say Leman Avram Shekaro, because he called God, he was the first one to call God Adon. Yitzchak did a tikkun for the Aleph of Adam, because what we're left with without the Aleph is Dam. Vehu Masar es Atzmo Lishpoch Kemayim Domo Avur Shmo Yisparach. So he would give up his blood and his life for the sake of God. And Yaakov was Metaken the Emes, because when you cut off the Aleph, you're left with Mace. And Yaakov Avinu says the Gemara in Tainus Lo Mes. He never died. Chaktitein Emes Li Yaakov. Now, we're going to take a look at a book called She'eris Yosef. And he says the following, that at the time of Matan Torah, there was a rectification of these three alfin. So again, Adam HaRishon, when he ate from the Eitz Hadas, through his sin, he was guilty of removing these alfin of Adam, Emes, and Adot, and then Noi. And now at the time of Matan Torah, there's going to be a tikkun, a rectification, to undo ameliorate, so to speak, the sin of Adam HaRishon. Where do we see this? Because the pasuk says, "Va'aluchos Maisa Elokim Hema." Now, if you add up, for this I need a calculator, if anybody happens to have one, if you add up the numerical value of Aluchos Mais Elokim Heinu, Hema, then what you end up with is the same exact value of Emes, Adam, and Adonai. So it means that through the Chet, now there's another sin that is catastrophic on the part of Klal Yisrael. Now we're leaving Adam Arishon on the side for a minute. That's the Chet HaEgel. The Chet HaEgel is also going to be a pgam, a blemish in the three alfin. And now the punishment is vayipol mina'am bayom ha'u kishloshes alfei ish. You see the word alfei? 3,000 people died in the aftermath of the Chet HaEgel. But the word for thousands, 3,000 in this case, is alfei. So we're referring to three alfins. And those three alfins are Adam, Emes, and Adonai. And it turns out now that in the aftermath of the Chet HaEgel, we have a tikkun. What's that tikkun? That's the level that Klal Yisrael reach at the moment of receiving the Torah. And that tikkun is alluded to in the pasuk of Aluchos Mais Elokim Hema, which is the same calculation as Maisa, as Emes, Adam, and Ado, and then the Noya. And this brings us to page 3. Now on page 3, you'll see on the top right a little box. And in that box, he starts by quoting the Medrash that we mentioned before, that as a result of Chet of Eitz Hadas, Adam HaRishon blemished the Gimel HaNofim of those three words. And he has a statement, a proclamation of the Baal Shem, the founder of Chassidus. Yireh Adam Lahamshich Al Atzmo, man, in order to rectify these sins of Adam HaRishon, because again, Adam HaRishon is the Neshama HaKolelas Kol HaNeshama, so we have to rectify those sins. What we have to do now is we have to replace the three Alephs, which were removed by Adam HaRishon. And how do we do that? Number one, Avas Hashem. Number two, Avas Yisrael. Number three, Avas HaTorah. All these three words of Ava begin, obviously, with an Aleph. And the Baal Shem Tov was opposed to a very popular tradition at his time of what's called Seder HaTshuva, otherwise known as Sigufim. So when a person was guilty of a criminal act, they would tell him to fast, I don't know how many days, they would tell him to roll himself in the snow or break the ice and go into the cold water, freezing cold water, etc., etc., walk on hot coals, whatever they would tell him, to suffer anguish, because Chazal say that Yisurim Mechaprim, Yisurim suffering is a Mechaprim, it creates atonement. Says the Baal Shem, we don't need that. Put that on the back burners. What we need is to rededicate ourselves to three Alephs, because the sin of Adam HaRishon is that he was pogame those three Alephs. We have to now dedicate ourselves and rededicate ourselves to those three Alephs, which are Avas Yisrael, Avas HaTorah, and Avas Hashem. Now let's try to take apart these three words. There's Emes, then there's Adam, and then there's Ado with a Noy at the end. And we're saying now that Adam HaRishon was pogame all these three Alphim. He was pogame the Aleph of Ado, namely Noy, because he denied God, so to speak. He rebelled against God. That rebellion is the exact opposite, what's antithetical to Avas Hashem. Then he was pogame in the Aleph of Emes. Why? Because Adam HaRishon received the Torah, not the entire Torah, but he got the Torah of the seven mitzvahs, and Torah is called Emes. And when he violates Emes, violating the Torah, he removes the Aleph from Emes. then this Adam. Adam is Klal Yisrael. Chazal say that whenever it says Adam, Atem Kuyim Adam, many various different proofs, the Eino Musa Olam Kuyim Adam. So the word Adam in its technical form is a reference to Klal Yisrael. And now, Adam HaRishon is being pogame all the generations that will come to him. He's basically removing the Aleph of Adam. Now Hashem says, well, because you did so, I'm going to punish you with 39 klolos. The 39 klolos are equal to Ava times 3. Ava is 13. Wait, let's just see. Aleph, Hey is 6.
Yeah, it is 13.
7, 8. And Hey is
13.
8 and 5 is 13. 8 and 5 is 13. Just 1 second. Yeah, it's interesting because 39 times 2 is Yud Kei Vav Kei, correct? So we need two Avos to get to the holiest name of God. But he's saying that there are three Avos here. There's Avas HaTorah, which is Emes, the Avas Yisrael, which is called Adam, and then there's Avas Hashem, which is called Ado, with a noy at the end. So now, in his great sin, Adam HaRishon is pogame all these three Avos. What we need, therefore, is a tikkun on these three Avos. Now, Ava is Begumatria 13, 8 plus 5. And now, if we multiply 13 by 3, we end up with 39. So the 39 Malkus that are meted out to a Chote is a rectification of the Chet of Adam HaRishon, and specifically the Klolos, the 39 Klolos of Adam HaRishon, that can be subdivided into three categories of 13 Klolos, and so too the Malkus, which are 39, are subdivided into three categories of 11 Malkus each. And with each set of Malkus, we recite the Pasuk Hashem, Rachum V'chanun. What do you say?
The 13 attributes of mercy.
Excellent. The 13 attributes of mercy. So he says that they asked the Baal Shem Tov, what is the Ikra Avoda? What should I dedicate myself to? And he says, you should dedicate yourself to the three Alephs, to these three Avos, of Avos Yisrael, Avos Hashem, Avos Yisrael, and Avos HaTorah. And if you do that, then even if Chas V'Shalom you're a sinner, you don't need any sigufim, because the whole purpose of suffering the Malkus is as a tikkun for the pgam in these three Alephs. And now you have done a rectification by jacking up or intensifying your dedication to these three Alephs, to these three Avos. Okay, Rabos, I see that we're running out of time. Let me ask you to do this, if you can do this as a favor to me, for me. First of all, let's make a note of where we got up to. And we're on the bottom, column 1 on page 3. So we're more than halfway through. And on page 4, he gets back to the number 40 and the significance of Yom Kippur as the culmination of this entire period of time, this entire process that begins on Rosh Chodesh El. But there are a lot of fascinating insights here that we didn't even get to. So if you can do me a favor, take these pages home. If you can't do so, then leave it for me. And I'd like you to try to learn the balance of this essay. Okay, then that's your homework assignment. So you'll have to come back to me next week, and I'll examine you and see if you know what grade I can give you. But at this point, I want to just say Shabbat Shalom. Everyone should have a great Shabbos, and thank you for coming. And we learned a little bit of Remez here. And Mirtz Hashem, we'll try to finish this up either before Shabbos or after.
You know, it says in the partial a few weeks ago that in the case of Yeri Dachas, says the pasuk, if somebody causes the Yeri Dachas, then the Rashi says that the Russian somebody is male, not a female. Did you notice that? Not a female. why would the female be excluded from leading in the Nidachas?
I don't know. It's a valid question. As far as I know, she's included. I don't know.
It's women included to be killed in the air, but as the one who will lead.
Initiated. Who?
The Feirish Rashi says, but not a woman.
Interesting. And yeah, please. I'll hold on to this for next week.